were flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Kyle Bennett, Herm the intern on the voice line, but he doesn't sound like it because, you know, we're out here upgrading sound and audio and everything else. Herm, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? Happy to be back. Happy for a new week of NLL lacrosse, and I think we got some huge interviews to share with the world today. I'm excited.
Yeah, so right when me and Herm get finished recording, we're going to be joined by the one and only Brett Manny from the New England Black Wolves. And then right after I'm done with Brett, I'm going to be joined by the one and only Chris Collins of the Philadelphia Wings, who's had the pleasure of being part of all three phases of the Philadelphia Wings, from 1.0 to the Black Wolves to now Philadelphia Wings 2.0, to kind of preview and get a little bit of a rivalry week edition of the podcast going. Very excited to be joined by those two guys, so make sure you stick around after Herm and I break down the week that was, the week that is, and give our picks, because those interviews are going to be off the charts. Let's recap the week that was, Herm. A bit of a shorter week last week, only a five-game slate. Vancouver pulls the upset over the Seals 14-6. Colorado squeaks away with a win against our Philadelphia Wings 12-10. Make sure you check out our post-game show. A lot of you guys have been showing that thing love, and it's really appreciated. But if you missed it, make sure you check that out. New England wins in a shootout against Rochester at the Mohegan Sun Arena. Buffalo just dismantles Georgia 19-9, and that New England-Rochester score was 16-13. And then Calgary and Saskatchewan in the final game of the weekend. Calgary win 17-12, a very high-scoring weekend for the most part. What were your takeaways from this weekend, Herm?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of really great lacrosse this weekend. I think that, well, I didn't really get to watch much of the Vancouver-San Diego game because we were at Wings practice, but, I mean, wow, what a turnaround for this Vancouver squad. I mean, they came out, Keegan Ball, I pump his tires all the time, but Jesus, man, coming out 10 points, are you kidding me?
Hat trick. That's, and sock trick.
That is just, I mean, I have personal reasons why I'm really upset about this, but oh, what a freaking game for the freaking kid. That's an unreal rookie pickup right there. That's a kid that I want on the Wings in 3 years. I know that we're working on the rebuild and everything, and we want to build from the ground up, but if we had Keegan Ball in this lineup, oh man, that would be fun to watch him and Kevin Crowley together.
Vancouver's got their, you know, next stud.
I know. I think it's important for the league, too. I think that having these young kids come up and take the spots of some of the veterans that are getting a little bit older, someone like a Brody Miller out in San Diego, who's obviously been in the league for so long, that I think it's super cool to watch all these rookies. I mean, the Wings have two rookies right now who are just tearing it up. So it's fun to watch. I'm excited to see where he goes in the future. And then the rest of the weekend was, it was as kind of expected. I think that, obviously, I'm pissed about the Wings game. I think that we really underachieved. I think that we could have done a lot better playing against a team that we should have been a lot more familiar with. And I think that it could change a little bit this weekend, but I'm not getting my hopes up because I think that I've allowed myself to be let down way too many times this season already. It's kind of like Bryce Harper. You know how we keep getting excited because people keep saying, oh, it's in the next 24 hours. So that's how I feel about that right now. But then the rest of the weekend was as I predicted almost. I mean, New England came out, tore it up. I expected them to do that. New England's a great team. They're going to play us really hard this weekend. Buffalo came out and killed Georgia. I mean, I had that game two. I don't think Georgia can hold on to this win now mentality for the rest of the season. I think that they are starting to struggle in the backside of games. And I mean, this game from the jump was all Buffalo all day. I think Buffalo's they're a great squad. They're going to score a lot of goals. Matt Vince is one of the best goalies in the league. So that combination is just difficult to beat. And with the addition of Chris Kluche, I mean, he didn't play or was active last weekend, but he's going to be an important part of their roster going into playoffs. And then Calgary's Sask was as predicted as well. Sask isn't the team that most people predicted them to be at the beginning of the season. So, and Calgary is the wagon. So I hopped on that bus a long time ago. I'm going to keep riding it for at least till last weekend, because I might not have them this week.
And I mean, you gave up on the wagon for a hot minute, and then after their bye week, you came back and they've been.
It was one of those recency bias things where I was highly upset. But
things that stood out to me: Vancouver, obviously, we have a nice little troll game going back and forth with them on Twitter, and they shut us up once again, and they flat out dominated in that game, and it was good to see from this Vancouver team, because I think a lot of people are kind of just starting to cast them off to the side, but they're still in this thing. And you know, after a couple injuries that they've sustained, Aaron Bold no longer being their goalie has kind of been a jump start for them, which is odd to say, because he's been one of the more dominant goalies in this league for years now. But Eric Penny has been coming out and balling these last two games, and Vancouver has seen, you know, success. Even though they lost to Calgary, Eric Penny played relatively well, and then he only allows 6 goals against a high-octane offense in San Diego. So, shout out to Eric Penny for his performance last week. Obviously,
I want to start making my picks for Vancouver after I see that everyone's picking against them, because that seems to be the weeks that they win.
Yeah, it seems to be the trend there. And then, obviously, we talked about it in depth on the post-game show, a much longer post-game than usual, too. The Wings just kind of let one get away once again. Seeing Kyle Killen in person, though, man, talk about another rookie out west that is performing out of his mind. That kid can play, and he's slowly but surely becoming one of my favorite players in this league, and he's only a rookie.
He is a blast to watch, to say the least.
He's so fun. He's quick. He's unreal. New England, they put on a show. They came out ready to play. And they come out with a big win against Rochester that, if the Wings would have won, that would have been even bigger of a win for New England, because it would have helped the Wings kind of catapult ahead of Rochester in the standings. But that wasn't meant to be. Buffalo just flat-out dominated. I thought this game was going to be a Georgia win, like my picks. But I thought even if Buffalo won, it would just kind of be similar to that Rochester-New England game. My goodness, Buffalo hit the power play more times than I can even remember. I believe they had 7 power play goals in that game, which is just absurd. And they were able to just flat out dominate a really good Georgia team. And I'm pulling up the game sheet here now to just make sure I was right. Yeah, Buffalo goes 7 of 8 on the power play, and they stayed out of the box as well. They only had 6 penalty minutes, and Georgia capitalized on the 1 power play they had, and you know, that's what wins games, and we talk about that week in and week out with the Wings, is their power play struggles, but that's what wins games, and Buffalo being able to get 7 out of 8 conversions on the power play is what helped them win that game. And then Calgary goes to Saskatchewan, and in arguably the toughest place out west to play, and they come away with a 5-goal win, and that was a huge win for them. And Saskatchewan now, like you said, they don't look like the same team, and we talked about this, you know, earlier this week, just texting each other. Saskatchewan's missing that championship pedigree from the guys that they lost in the expansion draft that are, you know, down the way in San Diego, a lot of them. And I think that's what's hurting this team, is they don't know how to play as a team right now. It's a lot of just individuals trying to do their thing, like a Mark Matthews. You know, he's going to be the type of player that he is, but it's a lot of just individuals on that Saskatchewan team more than just a team effort, and I think that's what's going to hurt them in the end this year. And they got to figure things out before this season gets out of hand for them.
Right. They're just weighing way too much on Ben McIntosh and Mark Matthews right now. They're not too good at score. They're good at go out and play average lacrosse. They need to be better.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to drop 4 in a row for the first time since 2011.
Yeah, which is insane. absolutely insane to think about. San Diego, shout out to those alternate jerseys, because although you lost, you look damn good losing. Those things are absolute heat. I love them. They need to be your regular jerseys because they are chefkiss.gif beautiful. Toronto was on a bye this week, so to kind of look at the standings right now as they sit, the Eastern Division, we have a tie up top just by win per, not by win percentage, but by record, but Toronto takes it by win percentage. They're 6-1 with an 857 win percentage. Buffalo is 7-2, so they're tied by record, but a 778 win percentage puts Toronto as the best team in the league. Georgia sits a half game back at 7-3. New England 4-3. They're 2 games back of the top spot in the East. Rochester sits at 2-6, 4.5 games back. And our Philadelphia Wings are 1-7, sitting 5.5 games back. Looking at the West, San Diego 4-3. Calgary 5-4. They're in a virtual tie record-wise, but San Diego has the better win percentage at 571 to 556 for Calgary. Saskatchewan 3-4. They're 1 game back. Vancouver 3-6, right in the thick of things. They're 2 games back, and Colorado at 2-5, also 2 games back, but Vancouver has the win percentage over them at 333 to 286.
While we're recapping last week, were you able to catch the video of Blaze and Chef cooking buffalo chicken dip?
That was fantastic.
It was probably the greatest thing I've seen in a while.
And then this week they were cooking cake.
Hats off to the boys.
This week they were baking cakes too, and make sure
that's a dynamic duo, to say the least. I think that the Blaze Chef relationship, friendship, bromance, whatever we want to call it right now,
it's like Toby and Bobby.
It is up there, Toby versus Bobby. I mean, it is something else. I could watch it every week. I think this should be a weekly segment in our podcast as we analyze the bromance between Chef and Blaze.
And speaking of Chef, if you haven't already, make sure you get your Chef Rambo merch on our TeePublic storefront. It's TeePublic.com. Just search Underground Sports Philadelphia and get that Chef Rambo merch. Looking just at some things that have stood out this week, just in terms of, you know, what we could expect from play this week. One thing I'm looking forward to is Colorado having their beach party.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be sick. I really hope that they make the turf look like sand like they teased in that picture.
That's what I'm hoping for.
If they don't, I won't be completely disappointed, because that is an expensive endeavor.
Yeah.
That they'd be throwing for one game. One thing that I want to address for this week coming up, too, is we as the Wings are going to be missing Big Frank out there. And that's going to be tough, I think.
And we missed him last week, too. So
right. But we have 2 games this week.
Yeah,
so
and like we'll dive into that, too. But right. Before I forget, let's recap our picks of the week and our standings. Last week, I go 2-3. I sit at 28-15, still your lead dog. Dom goes 2-3, sits at 27-17. Brooke goes 1-4, sits at 19-19. Alex goes 1-4. She's also 19-19. Herm with the best record of the week, going 3-2, sits at 27-17 in a tie for second place with Dom. And then Mikey goes 1-4, sitting at 19-14 overall. So those are your pick standings. I'm still your lead dog, right where I belong. That's all that matters.
Until the OTB commish gets back to us.
Hey, man, the judge is kind of just chilling. I heard they're down in Charlotte for NBA All-Star Weekend. Who knows what they're up to.
Why would you waste your time on that junk?
Who knows what they're up to, man? Who knows what they're up to? But kind of just looking ahead to this week, obviously the Wings with a doubleheader weekend playing New England twice. It's going to be an interesting weekend, because typically you don't really play the same team twice in a doubleheader weekend, so that could be an advantage for both teams, where they get to kind of just dissect one set of film rather than two team sets of film. What are your thoughts on this doubleheader weekend as we get set for it, you know, just 2 days away as we record this Thursday night? What are your thoughts on the doubleheader weekend?
Right. When you first think about it, you're thinking that taking Kevin Crowley from them and having someone who's obviously been a part of their offense and scored plenty of goals with them would help us. but I don't think we have any advantage going into game one. I think that New England has the momentum right now. I think they're playing really well. I think that we're coming off of a rough loss that we didn't really even seem that energized to come back and play this week after the game. So I think we're going to struggle game one going into it. But however, I think that having Kevin in the locker room is what will fire us up for Sunday, which will be the biggest advantage here as we go into game two in New England, which will be huge. So yeah, I mean, going into Sunday, having Kevin helping us out after maybe what I have predict to be a tough loss on Saturday will be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially because Kevin's not the only former Black Wolf on this team. Matt Rambo was on their practice squad last year, although this is his rookie year. Anthony Joakim played for the Black Wolves in his rookie year last year. And, you know, Jordan Hall is a former old wing that played with some of those guys on the Black Wolves. And obviously you have Kevin Crowley as well. And Chris Collins is a former Black Wolf on the practice squad. So there's a lot of connections with these two teams. And, you know, I think it's more of a fan thing that's been created of it being a rivalry right now. I think it's a budding rivalry that is going to be good for the league to have Philly-New England be a complete rivalry. But being that they haven't played each other yet, I don't think you can necessarily classify it as a rivalry just yet. But
listen, man, following... it's going to be a rivalry. Don't listen to the haters. It's a rivalry.
Oh,
we took Kevin Crowley from them. They took our team.
It's definitely going to be a rivalry. I just think you have to wait until Saturday's game is done to actually classify it as such.
You know what we need to make this a rivalry? A bench brawl.
See, the only thing that makes me hesitant about that actually happening is just Paul Day keeping the guys kind of at bay, and he wants them to be professional with it, and I think Chet Kanechi is one fight away from being back on IR, so he's our you know, in-house glove dropper, so unless he drops the gloves, I don't see a fight happening, at least in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really see most of these dudes getting in fights. However, I think that if Kevin got into a fight, it would really start up a rivalry. I mean, like,
that would be insane.
He was the face of their organization. He's now the face of the Wings. I mean, and my guy's wingspan is ginormous.
I see what you did there.
He's got the reach. You get it? Wings.
Ba-dum.
Dad jokes.
That's what we're here for. You come for the content and you stay for the dad jokes.
You want to fight? I mean, that's our guy to create this rivalry. And he wins that fight, hands down. My guy can drop the mitts, I can tell.
It's going to be an interesting weekend. And I think, you know, Coach Day talked about it on the weekly conference call yesterday where, you know, preparation's going to be a little bit different. The Wings aren't practicing Friday night. It's just going to be an hour and a half long shoot around on Saturday morning. Which we'll be at, so make sure you're following us on the social medias, as they call it, as the youngins call it, because we'll be live from shoot around on Saturday morning before our main show. But I think the preparation is going to be different. He talked about different lineups, you know, where Wells Fargo Center is a bit of a bigger floor compared to Mohegan Sun. So he said, look for a more speedy and energetic lineup on Saturday and more of a defensive strength kind of lineup on Sunday. So that's something I'm going to keep my eyes out for, to see if any lineup changes happen from Saturday to Sunday. And like you said, Frank Brown missed last week's game against Colorado. He's not going to travel with the team or be on the floor on Saturday, not travel with them on Sunday. And then after this week, we have another 2 weeks off before that March 8th game against Buffalo. So he's going to get potentially a total of 5 weeks of rest to heal a bone bruise in his knee, and that's something we picked up on practice the other day when he was kind of walking around with a knee brace on. So I think that injury happened against Toronto when the four defensemen got hurt. I think Frank was definitely one of those four guys that got injured. He tried to play through it, and now he's on the shelf, which I think is a big loss. But, you know, Ryan Wagner, he came in last week and he performed well. I was very impressed with Wags and how he played, and everybody on Twitter coming at us for calling him Jake Wagner. It was a joke from the press conference. Trevor Baptiste continually called Ryan Wagner Jake Wagner. And if not for Blaze Reardon kind of breaking it up and introducing Trevor to Ryan Wagner, we wouldn't have had any laughs in that post-game press conference. But That was something that lightened the mood just a bit. But last week was arguably the worst loss for the Wings internally. I think Paul Day was not happy with that performance. We talked about that on the post-game show, too, so make sure you check that out. But I think this week is going to be interesting. We'll get into the picks as well. But what's the matchup this week, just from the full-blown slate, that you're looking forward to the most?
Honestly, this is going to be a bit out there, but I'm really interested in this goalie battle. I think that Buchan and DeRusso are going to have to prove themselves a bit here. And then New England's kind of in the same boat. They have two goalies that switch on and off for time. Neither one has really stood out. They've obviously had good games similar to Buchan and DeRusso, having their standout moments, but that's where you're going to win or lose a game this weekend, I think, is how many goals is your goalie going to let up, and can you control the other team's offense? So I think that's where the game's going to be won. Both games are going to be won and lost this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big factor. Overall, just looking at the slate outside of the New England Philadelphia back-to-back, I'm really looking forward to this San Diego Toronto game. You get Austin Stotts going up against Tom Schreiber, kind of the Toronto big three coming off a bye. That game's going to be interesting. Calgary Buffalo should be a good one, a nice little East Division, West Division matchup there in Buffalo. Georgia-Colorado should be fun. I'm looking forward to the beach party for sure. And then you get a Canadian matchup with Saskatchewan and Vancouver. We'll get into our picks in just a second, but it's going to be a fun weekend for sure. And just looking overall, there's a lot to look forward to. Yeah, so some just other news around the league. Some pretty cool stuff. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced today that Lyle and Miles Thompson are both featured in the People of New York exhibit that opened this morning in the New York State Capitol. So that's pretty cool. Kind of just a whole display of famous New York people. And to see those two guys, you know, out there, I think that's a really cool addition to the exhibit. There's a picture that the Georgia Swarm tweeted out. So fantastic job by them there. And then I thought the other fun quote, and this came from Adam Levi. He's on Twitter. He's big with the Vancouver Warriors, does a whole bunch of stuff with the NLL. In prep for Saturday's Mammoth game against Georgia, Sean Williams knows the Swarm will be looking to rebound from their 10-goal loss. We know they're coming off a lopsided loss, so we know they'll be digging deep. We'll just have to stick to our game plan. And then the other fun quote from this was, if I can find it here. Yeah, so Sean Williams joked that the best way to beat the Swarm's explosive offense is, quote, hope they miss.
That's a good one.
And then just some other stuff that's been going on, you know, a lot of milestones when it came to points and everything last week between, you know, Corey Small, Callum Crawford, a whole bunch of guys in New England setting records for themselves. So very big hats off to everybody across the league that kind of just set new milestones for either their club, for themselves, or both. So that was really cool. And I think the performance of the week just goes to Buffalo's power play. Going 7 of 8 on the power play is nothing to sneeze at. A 19-9 victory. I think the winners of the week definitely go to the Buffalo Bandits power play unit.
Yeah, I'd say their power play is pretty good at score.
Yeah, they know how to do it, and that's why they're as good as they are. But, Herm, I think since we got some interviews cooking up, do you know what time it is?
5 o'clock somewhere.
That's a good one. I like it, which means it's time for the picks. Looking to kick things off this week, a 7:30 p.m. start Friday. So tomorrow, San Diego at Toronto, the lone game on the Friday slate. How you dissecting this one, Herm?
I think San Diego's really down on themselves right now. I think it's going to pick up a bit this week. However, they've got the three-headed monster, and it's not going to—they can't stop it. Nobody can stop right now. Toronto's the best team in the league. I think that they just know how to finish games. I think they know how to score goals. I think that they're just too good. They're going to overpower this San Diego team and win kind of big this week.
I think it's going to be a very close game for three quarters. And then Toronto, being that they're at home, they're going to find that switch like they always do in the fourth quarter and kind of just go on an offensive, you know, tirade and abuse Frank Siciliano, and they're going to come away with a win. Toronto is definitely beating San Diego this week. Book it. Put your bets in wherever you can. The Rock are winning coming off the bye week, too. I think that's a big factor in this, is Toronto's rested, and they're ready to rock and roll, all pun intended, up in Toronto. So the Rock are going to beat the Seals this week, tomorrow. So that's a fun way to kick this week off. Saturday gets kicked off with our Philadelphia Wings playing host to the former Wings, now known as the New England Black Wolves. Herm, I know you're not feeling great about this home game, but dissect it and break it down for the people.
Yeah, so I hinted at this one earlier. I think this is going to be a rough game for the Wings. I think that New England's coming in with a lot of energy off that big win last week. And I think the Wings are kind of down right now. I mean, it's obviously a super light locker room. I think all these guys are fun and they're going to have a good time with it. But I don't think that they can pull out this win game one. I think we're going to play them tough for the first three quarters. It'll be a similar case as what Kyle just said for the San Diego-Toronto game. But I think that the fourth quarter is really going to be rough for us. I think we could even go into the fourth quarter with a lead and potentially lose it. I think it's going to be a very similar loss to what we've seen from the Wings all season. And that's in no way, shape, or form coming at the Wings. I think that we're just not as prepared for this game as we will be for Sunday's game.
As our friends, like we say every week, that the Go Birds pod, you know, like to say on their podcast, ring that bell. The Wings are not losing this game at home. I think Kevin Crowley, Anthony Joakim, Jordan Hall, the whole gang is going to get everybody fired up for this one to kick off, you know, the next chapter of a great NLL rivalry. I think New England's going to be coming off a nice little high, beating Rochester the way they did, coming on the road. I think the Wings fans are going to play a big part in this, knowing that, you know, New England kind of took their team away, and I think the Philadelphia Wings pull out the home win and get their second win of the season against New England at home this week. Calgary heads to Buffalo at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. This is going to be a fun matchup between two teams that are riding high right now. How you feeling on this matchup?
This is the matchup of the weekend for me. I think this is going to be one to watch. It's going to be close. Calgary is a great team on the road. Nine times out of ten, I take them on the road. But they are going into the Buffalo barn, and it's tough to play there, man. I think this Buffalo squad is playing really, really well right now, and they're just getting stronger with adding Klutch to their lineup. So I got to take Buffalo here in this home game. I think that Christian DelBianco is going to do everything that he can for Calgary. I think Dane Dobby is going to come out and score a lot of goals. But this Buffalo team is just stacked. I think that they're probably the number two team in my mind right now. So I have to take Buffalo. I think it's going to be a great game, though. I think it's going to be a four-quarter, just full, flat-out 200-foot game the whole time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Chris Kluche actually is active for this game. So as of right now, the Wings have won that trade. But I think, like you said, this game's going to be back and forth. It could be the game of the week. But after last week's performance, I can't pick against Buffalo right now the way they're riding high. They've got too many offensive weapons on that team, and Calgary can only rely on Curtis Dix and Dane Doby so much to perform for them. And I think Buffalo's, you know, veteran presence that they have with their offense is going to get the best of Christian DelBianco, as much as that pains me to say, because that's our baby. Buffalo wins this game big time on their home turf. The beach party at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Georgia heads to Colorado. Herm, your thoughts?
What did I text you again earlier? Right, I'm going to tell you. I was being sarcastic. I texted you Georgia. I have since completely changed my mind. Colorado wins this game.
Heyo! That's a new one.
I think that Georgia's down from last week's loss, and they're going to stay down for one more game. I think Colorado's going to come out hot after winning against the Wings last week. It's at home. It's a beach party. Throw some sand up in the air, run through it like LeBron James, and pull out this win for me, Colorado.
Herm, I thought we were going to have different picks this week. I really thought we were going to have different picks. I'm going with Colorado again. They have not proven me wrong. I picked against them last week because they played our Wings, and that's what I just tend to do, and I thought the Wings could get a nice win there. But I think they're riding high right now. I think they found their third cog in the hole with Kyle Killen, and Ryan Benesch is just too good. Eli McLaughlin is a force that is very underrated in this league, and I think Colorado pulls out the win and knocks Georgia down another peg in this Eastern Division.
I completely agree. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, though.
Definitely. I think it's going to be really fun, especially with it being in Colorado. They have a nice little fan base out there that does a good job filling up that arena. So looking forward to that game for sure. Saskatchewan and Vancouver in the Canadian matchup. I'm very much looking forward to Vancouver's performance in this game. It's going to be a big litmus test, in my opinion, even with Saskatchewan not being as good as a lot of people had hoped or thought. But I am rocking out with the Vancouver Warriors with this game, Herm. I think they are kind of just riding high with Keegan Ball. I think he's on a roll. And two hat tricks this season, and last week a 10-point game for him. I think Vancouver comes away with a nice little home win and gives the Rush that losing streak.
I could not agree more. I think that this is a completely different Rush team from last season, and Vancouver's turning their season around.
Yeah.
Keegan Ball is balling.
That Western Division is wide open, too. It's anybody's game, and if Vancouver can rattle off some wins and climb the standings, they can be right in the thick of a playoff run.
It's just another weekend where I wish the Wings were in the West Coast.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Philadelphia, New England wrap up the weekend for the second part of the back-to-back. This time it's in New England. Like I said, I think the biggest takeaway from me is the Wings' home field advantage is very, very good. I think that's why they win on Saturday. But having to travel to New England more than likely right after the game on Saturday, because it is a 3 o'clock Eastern time start in the afternoon for the Sunday game, I think that kind of gets the best of the Wings, where New England's kind of just going to get used to what they're used to back home. And I think New England just kind of wins a physical matchup on a smaller floor, and I think that's what's going to play a key factor in this one. Obviously, there's guys that are used to playing at Mohegan Sun, but I think, you know, with the inexperience factor just as a whole with this unit, and Paul Day kind of hinting that there's going to be different lineups, I think he's going to tinker a little bit too much with it on the Sunday game, and New England comes away with a close game win on Sunday afternoon.
Ring that bell. I completely disagree. I think that the Wings are going to come into Sunday and be more prepared than ever. I think it's going to be important that we're seeing them for the second time in the same weekend, and we're going to learn from all of our mistakes and not have time to think about those mistakes. We're just going to know how to fix them right away. And I think that's going to be huge. I think that it's a complete disadvantage for both teams. There's no advantage to the travel and having to play the early game Sunday. And I think that the Wings are going to pull this one out. And I don't even think we're just going to pull this one out. I think we pull this one out kind of big. I think we 15-10. I think we can score a lot of goals. I think we're going to be very prepared. And I think Kevin Crowley is going to have 9 points.
I'm very intrigued to see how the New England fans kind of receive Kevin Crowley coming back. That's going to be something I keep an eye on. But let me preface this. I would not be shocked if the Wings win both of these games this weekend. I would not be
shocked.
I would
love it. Don't get me wrong. And I'm a huge Boston sports fan, New England sports fan for every other sport. But the Wings here, they've got my heart. So I would love to see two Wings wins.
I think we all would, because if they win both of these games this weekend, that alters their season in a sense. Because, you know, we talked about the standings earlier in the show. Looking at this team right now, they're 1-7. They get two wins. They pop to 3-7. And then they knock New England to 4-5. So that would put them just two games back of New England in the standings. And then you would have the season series win over them with one more game later in March against the Black Wolves. So this weekend is very big for this team. And I think they just need to try and go and take advantage and hopefully pull out two wins. But I would be happy with a split.
Right, no, I'd be completely happy with a split, and I think every weekend coming up now is important for the Wings. I mean, I don't think we're out of it at all. I think we just need to turn our own season around. I think we need to worry about ourselves before we worry about anything in the standings. I don't really give a shit about where we end up in the standings as long as we're playing good lacrosse and we're starting to play like a functional team that can play four quarters rather than just three quarters in 6 minutes.
Yeah, and we'll have two post-game shows for you this weekend, obviously with the two games. So one will be from the Wells Fargo Center with myself and Brooke, and then Sundays will be with myself and Herm, because it is an away game. So looking forward to having Herm back on the post-game, and then that will be our final post-game until March 8th. So we have almost a full month of no Wings lacrosse, which is very depressing, to say the least, but the Wings get back at it after this back-to-back with New England on March 8th at home against the Buffalo Bandits, Chris Cloutier's return to the Wells Fargo Center, and then the Wings hit the road March 16th, so 8 days later, at San Diego. So the first matchup of the East-West potential rivalry that's budding there, as Austin Stotts, friend of the pod, talked about earlier this year when he joined us. And then March 23rd is that potential key game against New England at the Wells Fargo Center, potentially with a series, season series on the line. And then that's right before the trade deadline, I believe, too. And then March 30th wraps up the month of March, where the Wings hit the road again to take on the Toronto Rock. So a lot of important games before that final month of the season happens. It all starts this weekend with two against New England, and we'll see what the Wings are able to do. Very much looking forward to it, Herm, and hopefully we get two wins to talk about on our post-game shows.
Definitely, and I also want to jump back really quick and just I want to say thank you to the guys in these upcoming interviews. Chris Collins, though, salt of the earth guy, unreal human being, has a beautiful new little daughter, and I just wanted to say that thank you for coming on. Then keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome.
Yeah, shout out to the homies, new friends of the pod. Yeah, we got Brett Manny on the hold on the line, so we're going to get into our interviews, but thank you guys for tuning into this portion of the pod, so stay tuned, and we're going to be joined by Brett Manny and Chris Collins, so hold tight. All right, and now on Outside the Box, we are joined by the one and only Brett Manny, the captain of the New England Black Wolves. What's going on, Brett?
What's up, Kyle? Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, man. So you're a former Philadelphia Wing before you guys got up and moved to New England, and now you're coming back to Philly to face this new brand of Wings. What's that feeling like for you to, you know, finally come back to Philadelphia to play some lacrosse?
It's going to be a little bit eerie, I would say, just because that was a franchise I obviously played for, and then we moved from Philadelphia up to New England, changed the whole name, playing at the Mohegan Sun, and you know, if that never happened, I would probably still be wearing a Philadelphia Wings uniform and been playing in the franchise the last, it would have been 9 years. So things happen the way they do, and I'm playing for the Black Wolves now, and I'm very happy being up in Connecticut and playing for them. But it's certainly going to be a little different going into you know, the visiting locker room over there. It's been a long time since I played on that floor, but you know, more or less, I'm excited to get back in action this weekend playing against the Wings and trying to get more importantly our fifth win of the season.
And you know, obviously with the Wings being back and everything, just how important do you think it was just for the league to have a franchise back in Philadelphia and just to get that back up and running as soon as they did?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a big lacrosse area. People love lacrosse around here. The club business is doing very well, and obviously the field game is very good in the Philadelphia area and the Philadelphia market. And this is a market that thrived for many years in the NLL with the Wings. And when they were back at Spectrum, I remember going to games there, and then at what now is the Wells Fargo Center, used to get 15,000-16,000. And I think, unfortunately, with the recession and some bad teams there throughout the years, kind of hurt the attendance there. But it's good to see them back. You know, having the support of the Flyers is important as well. And you know, when you're in a major market such as Philadelphia, in a market which loves sports as much as the fans of Philadelphia do, it's a home run to be able to come back and have a team here in Philadelphia. And you know, the Philadelphia fan within me is happy that the Wings are back, and a lot of other people are sharing the same sentiments that I am.
And then obviously, you know, you played in Philadelphia, now you play in the New England area for the majority of your career too. What's it been like just playing in those two cities where, you've seen, you know, numerous championships, whether it was, you know, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl last year, then the Patriots this year, the Red Sox winning their championships. What's it like just being an athlete in these two cities and seeing the success that all the other teams around have had, you know, over the last decade?
Certainly unique. I mean, I was born in Trenton, New Jersey, but I grew up outside of Philadelphia my whole life, and, you know, going to the University of Delaware, that's only 45 minutes south of the city, and I've been living in the city ever really since then. So I've experienced many up and downs when it comes to Philadelphia professional sports as a fan, and kind of lived through it all. And obviously the very passionate, knowledgeable fans that are in Philadelphia. And then going up to Connecticut and seeing their fans, my only word is that they're spoiled. It's pretty, I know, it took me literally 23 years to see a championship, a Phillies won, and then, you know, another 9 until the Eagles. And if you think, you know, if you're a kid that was maybe like 15 or 16 and you're a Boston fan, you've seen every team win a championship. And, you know, they've won a lot over the years, and there is a little bit of difference between the fan bases that has occurred that I see, but it's still very two proud areas which love their professional sports and take them very seriously, and that makes it all better when you're playing in front of fans that love to see you play, and you see people with the jerseys walking around the arenas and around the areas of the city to represent those teams. You know, that makes it that much more powerful when you're playing in front of fans that really care that much.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. And I totally agree with those Boston fans being a little bit spoiled too, but that's another story for another day. But, you know,
yep.
The biggest connection, you know, obviously outside of the Black Wolves being the quote unquote former Wings, is your former teammate Kevin Crowley gets traded earlier this year back to Philadelphia. What was that kind of like for you guys just in the locker room, knowing that, you know, he wasn't going to be around for this season and he was coming back to Philadelphia?
To be completely honest, it wasn't that much of a distraction. You know, in the beginning, right when training camp was happening, he was working on his contract, and we understood that. So, you know, we went about business and kind of like made sure that it wasn't a distraction. And when that trade did go down, it was okay, like he's not here anymore, and we just need to move on. So I think guys kind of understood where he was coming from, kind of understood where our organization was coming from, and seeing both sides. And you know, I wish him nothing but the best, except for when he plays us. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm gonna do everything I can to help the New England Black Wolves win and support them. And you know, if he's in Philadelphia, I hope he does well. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm concerned about the guys that are in the locker room for the New England Black Wolves and us doing everything we can to help that team, help that franchise be very successful.
And, you know, there's a couple of your former teammates on this new Philadelphia Wings team. Like you said, Kevin Crowley, obviously. Jordan Hall, I believe you played with as well. And then Anthony Joakim last season in New England. Just tell me a little bit about the other two guys and what it was like playing with them, and what you're looking most forward to playing against them as well, especially with Anthony being a younger guy playing the defense, the defensive position that you play as well. Just tell me a little bit about those two guys from your perspective.
Yeah, Jokes was a rookie last year and had a little bit of transition period of trying to, you know, get on the roster and play. And you know, that's very tough to do as, and, you know, any rookie, whether what team you're on. So a lot of last year I felt like was teaching and trying to get him up to speed and helping him learn. And I had a personal connection with him because he went to St. Joe's University, and one of my good buddies and former teammate, Taylor Ray, is the head coach. And he would check on me to see how Anthony was doing and making sure that he was up to speed and doing all the right things on and off the floor. And so, you know, to see him be able to have a more established role in Philadelphia in his second year has been great. And Jordan, well, what else can you say about Jordan Hall? I mean, that guy in the last 20 years is one of the best two-way midfielders that I've ever seen. And I think that speaks volume for him as a player, but his character. I mean, he's won so many championships, and what he's been able to do on the outside, the indoor, and now in his like 12th year. I mean, he does everything you ask him to, and he's such an underrated lacrosse player, which is crazy to think, because I think in 2008, 2008 or 2007, he was the number one overall pick. But, you know, he can play offense. He sets picks. He's a lefty. If you need him to go back play defense, he will. He gets loose balls. He's a great guy off the floor. And I'm so proud that he's a, you know, fellow Blue Hen, a guy that when we were in school, he was older than me, but I looked up to and admired everything he was able to do. And one of the main reasons we went to a Final Four when we were in school. And obviously Chris is one of my best friends, and he does great things with the community, being Chris Collins, being at Drexel and being like the assistant coach there. And he was a guy that told me, you know, I should play box lacrosse when I was really only considering the outdoor professional league. And, you know, I owe a lot of my success to him and his support. So having guys that I'm connected to, like I said, I want to see them succeed and do well. It's just not three times of the year. So if they're successful 15 times, I'm happy for them, but just not the three times that they're playing us. But like I said, I'm glad to see them having some success.
And, you know, with this being kind of, you know, what everybody's advertising as a budding, like, new rivalry, what are you guys in the New England locker room kind of just expecting this weekend, kicking this rivalry off, you know, quote unquote, with a back-to-back? And what's that kind of preparation like for you guys having to play two games, you know, one at home, one on the road?
Yeah, I think it's really for us just taking it as another game. And it's weird to say it's a rivalry when we've never played them before. You know, I might think it goes a little bit deeper with the fans, you know, leaving this team that is the Black Wolves, leaving Philadelphia and being the Black Wolves, and now the Wings coming back. So I don't think we really see it as that yet, since we've never played them. But obviously we're going to play them twice over the weekend, and another couple weeks we'll see them again. And I think what we're saying is that this team's a lot better than what their record indicates. They're not getting blown out of games. You know, Toronto, a lot of people have as like the favorite right now. They took them to overtime and really had every chance to win that game. And a lot of other games are right in there. So they're playing really well. They just haven't pulled out those victories. And, you know, we're treating this game just like any other, like realizing who the dangerous O guys are, who can score in transition, who are their lockdown defenders that are going to give us trouble, and, you know, take this, you know, one game at a time. But we know that this is a dangerous team that we need to respect, because this is a huge weekend for us.
And then, you know, on your team too, what's it like playing with a guy like Callum Crawford, who just continues to put up numbers, continues to, you know, put up just historic landmarks in his career, milestones that he's reaching? What's a guy like Callum Crawford like on a, you know, teammate basis?
Yeah, Callum was one of the guys that when I was playing against him, I really looked forward to playing him, because he was a tall guy that's he's like maybe a little bit taller than me, but he moves really well. He's got a great first step. He's super athletic. And, you know, he's very some of the things he does is very uncharacteristic, like a jump shot and even like a jumping on the crease and doing all those things. But you all of a sudden look up and let's say we got seven goals and Callum is 2 and 3 and it's the third quarter. I mean, he just puts points up on the board, and to see him do it in like his, you know, 13th or 14th year in the league is a true testament to him and making sure that he's in great shape and keeping a stick in his hand. I mean, he's extremely dynamic and he doesn't show any signs of slowing down, which is tremendous for us. And I think it was a little bit difficult with him coming in halfway through the year last year, but I feel like he's finally kind of made his bed in Connecticut and is doing great things. And, you know, you watch him from scoring to feeding guys, and our offense is really clicking. And, you know, he's a key catalyst within that to making sure that they run effectively.
Yeah. And then, you know, just looking to this weekend and everything, what's one thing that you personally are looking most forward to? Like you said, you know, you grew up right outside of Philly, you went to Delaware and everything. What are you looking most forward to, you know, coming back and kind of just walking into Wells Fargo Center for the first time for an away game? And what's that feeling going to be like for you?
Yeah, I think, Kyle, what you know, most looking forward to is actually representing the city of Philadelphia. You know, being the up until this year with Rambo, it's great to see him in the league, but being really the only local Philly guy that's been playing in this league for probably the last 5 or 6 years before, you know, Steve Holmes and Pat Heim used to play with the Wings. But from when they stopped playing till this year, I was the only Philadelphia guy. And kind of wore that with a play with a chip on my shoulder because of it, and a kind of a badge of honor. And now to come home as like the hometown guy who's still playing means a lot, and I'm playing in front of the Wings fans. It will be great, even though I'm wearing an opposing jersey. But I just I'm looking forward to seeing the crowd back in the game and seeing the excitement that's at the Wells Fargo, because the city needed it, the fans needed it, and you know, I'm glad that I'm going to be participating. Even though I'm not wearing a Wings jersey, I have a lot of fond memories of my time there, and I'm extremely happy playing for the Black Wolves. But I just think being able to play in some friends and family who haven't seen me play in 5 years will certainly be very rewarding. And, you know, hope they can see us pull out a win in front of, you know, 10, 11,000 fans.
Definitely. And last one for you, Teague. You know, you have your NXT sports business. Tell me a little bit about that and just plug that for yourself. And I know you're a busy guy, so I'll let you get rocking with the rest of your day.
Yeah, no problem. So I'm our VP of sales and recruiting, and kind of take a lead in a lot of our events that we put on. We put on over 40 different boys and girls events throughout the country. And, you know, my role is on the boys side, specifically with our high school recruiting events that we run in the summer and the fall. So right now I'm just trying to reach out to teams to get them to come to our tournaments in the summer. And then, you know, making sure that the individual side, from the individual recruiting events, I'm getting kids to go to those events that are in Baltimore, Philadelphia. We have one in Indianapolis to help their exposure to college coaches. On our club side, I helped coach in our club since the inception. We have boys and girls teams. The girls teams are about 3 years old. We've had the boys team since the fall of 2011. Again, kids that are now in college, our first class just graduated in 2014. High school kids just graduated college last year, but multiple All-Americans at the college level that are playing at great universities, Notre Dame, Ohio State, you name it, Maryland. These kids are doing very well and also very high at the Division III level. So we're very proud of those guys for what they do. We have a box program that's kind of funny. I coach that as well. And even when we're there, I'm always talking about the Black Wolves, and some of the kids are giving me crap about the Wings. But, you know, it's kind of like a fun little banner back and forth. And that's exciting, too, that's booming as well. Not only us, but there's other box teams within the area that are getting kids out there, getting them more exposed to the box game at a younger age. And, you know, I'm glad that next can be part of it. And, you know, with our events as well, can do great things for the local lacrosse community of Philadelphia.
And hey, like your website bio says, it sounds like you're putting on for your city. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Brett. And definitely whenever you're available, we'd love to have you again. And hopefully we can catch up with you this weekend at Wells Fargo Center when the Wings take on your Black Wolves.
I appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks for having me on the show. Go Black Wolves. And, yeah, man, anytime you need me, you know where I'm at.
Absolutely. I'll be talking to you, man. Thanks again.
All right. See you, Kyle.
And that was Brett Manny, captain of the New England Black Wolves. Sounds like he's very excited to get back and playing in front of, you know, his home city, even though he is going to be in that New England uniform. But it's going to be a fun weekend at Wells Fargo Center this week. When the Wings take on the Black Wolves for the very first time. And I think the fans are going to be really into this one for sure. Stay tuned, though, because we're going to be joined by Wings goalie Chris Collins, who has had the opportunity to play with the former Wings, the Black Wolves, and this new Wings team. So stay tuned. We're going to jump into that interview in just 1 second. All right, and we just finished up with Brett Manny from the New England Black Wolves, so we're kicking it to the new guard of the Philadelphia Wings, and we are thrilled to be joined by the one and only Chris Collins. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy Thursday.
Absolutely, man, and it's what everybody is dubbing, quote-unquote, new rivalry weekend, as the Wings are prepping for a two-game weekend against the New England Black Wolves. You're in a unique situation where you played for the old Wings, you played for the Black Wolves, and now you're part of the new Wings. Just tell me a little bit about that and how that kind of feels for you to be able to be part of all three phases kind of this journey.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I think I touched on it earlier. You know, I've been very lucky. You know, the game of lacrosse has taken very good care of me. you know, I've you know, played for many coaches, many teams in the past. And I think the one message that you kind of get from all of them is, you know, if you're good to the game will be good back to you. And, you know, I'm still proud to say at 36, you know, I still got some miles left in the tank. And, you know, realistically, you know, having a chance to play for the Philadelphia Wings, obviously in two accounts now, you know, I can say, you know, dream come true for sure. You know, where I'm from in upstate New York, you know, lacrosse is definitely the ticket out, you know, Yorktown, New York. And, you know, having spent some, you know, some serious time in the Mid-Atlantic, you know, knowing the Philadelphia Wings and the history and the pedigree and, you know, what that organization, you know, was all about, having a chance to have a run with them, you know, this time times two. I guess, first of all, I have to give Mike French a big shout-out and Rich Lisk a big shout-out. You know, those guys, you know, gave me a shot, I guess, 2012, you know, brought me into Philly. And, you know, I mean, you talk the dressing room surrounded by guys like, you know, Brody Miller, Brandon Miller, you know, those right there, you know, iconic kind of box across names and on top of the Philadelphia Wings. But, you know, Mike French and Rich Lisk, kind enough to bring me on board. And to be honest with you, you know, those guys, you know, they brought kind of new life to my career. You know, I was obviously just hit kind of 30 at that point. And, you know, I still have some goals where, you know, I wanted to play on the U.S. team and, you know, I wanted to rep my city proud here in Philly. And kind of without that chance, you know, without that chance in 2012, you know, with the Philadelphia Wings that first time around, I don't know where I would be. And it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, fast forward, you know, just about 6 years later, you know, to have that run to be able to continue. You know, obviously the franchise moved up to New England, and, you know, what a fantastic experience that was. And for me, again, it was close to home. You know, my parents were able to make the trip. My family was able to make the trip. And again, continue fast forward back here, you know, Philadelphia Wings 2.0. You know, to kind of continue that dream and to, you know, to rep that, you know, to rep our city and that organization proudly. I couldn't ask for anything else. And there's a lot of people that I can truly thank along the way. And I think the best way to thank them, you know, is to keep balling. And again, I think, you know, as always, rep it true. You know, if you're good to the game will be good back to you.
Definitely. And, you know, the biggest kind of storyline between the Black Wolves and this new Wings franchise this season was when Kevin Crowley made his return via that trade earlier this year. What was your reaction when you found out that Kevin was going to be coming back to Philadelphia and he was going to be your teammate again?
You know, it's crazy. I mean, first you drop Brett Manning's name, then you drop Kevin Crowley's name. You're talking, you know, again, you know, two players who are, you know, who are Hall of Fame on the floor, but most of all, they're both, you know, they're Hall of Fame off the floor. Brett Manning and Kevin Crowley were both in my wedding. So it's really nice to kind of, you know, share many experiences with them, and then obviously add the lacrosse component to it, to kind of further that, you know, on floor relationship. I mean, look, I think, you know, when you add Big Cat to any dressing room, you know, you've got a chance to win a championship. You know, Kev has, you know, I mean, you look at last year just in particular, I mean, you know, the numbers that he put up, the points that he put up, you know, anytime you have the chance to add a, you know, a caliber player like Kevin to your dressing room, you know, both as a player and as a person, you know, that's a win-win. And when you have a chance to bring him back to the city of Philadelphia, you know, where, look, I mean, he's a name guy throughout the league, but he's a name guy in Philadelphia. You know, obviously, you know, Kevin lives here now, you know, relocate from D.C. You know, he's embraced the Philadelphia community, and the Philadelphia community has embraced him. And in a weird way, I don't think it would be able to be kind of the Philadelphia Wings 2.0 without Kevin. So to kind of have him, you know, on our righty side and in our dressing room and, you know, hearing his voice, I think is really important. And I think Kev's really embraced that. And, you know, he's a vet now. And it's crazy to kind of to look at that and, you know, been able to kind of sit back and watch Kevin's career and be a part of Kevin's career and, you know, see him develop into, you know, one of the big-time scorers in our league. You know, selfishly for me, when you get a chance to add one of your best friends to, you know, to your team, you know, that's a no-brainer. But, you know, in the type of person and the type of player that Kevin is, huge get for us. And again, sky's the limit for him, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's just been a burst of energy for this team ever since he came back. And for you, you know, being part of the Wings 2.0, what's this experience been like for you, you know, just being around this team week in and week out and kind of helping the young goalies that are also part of this team and Doug Buck and David DeRusio? What's that experience been like for you?
Well, let's start from the top down. You know, first class organization, first class leadership. And then when you look at our team, I won't steal Kyle Matisse's line. But you know, he's the true voice in our dressing room. You know, you know, in my eyes, you know, he's an extension of our coaching staff. To kind of quote Kyle, you know, he views himself as a builder. And I thought that was beautiful. You know, the way he said it, was very fitting in kind of, you know, each and every role that we have, you know, to this new organization. So when you look at the pieces that are in place, you know, to keep, you know, the Wings 2.0, you need to kind of have some visionaries in there, you know, from the top down. And you see that from our coaching staff and carries down to our leadership. And I mean, look, you know, from a pro point of view, you're going to have many levels of leadership, you know, on your roster. And Kyle, no doubt, definitely takes the reins there. But we're all builders, and, you know, he's a big part of leading the way. And, you know, me, myself, and again, being one of the older goalies here, it's just as exciting for me to kind of, you know, hang back and work with the young guys and just listen to the young guys and how they prepare and their thought process. And, they might be young guys on paper, but when you sit back and you really listen to Buck and you really listen to, you know, Big Fish in terms of, you know, how they read shooters and what they're talking about and scouting wise, and, they are light years, ahead of kind of what their career says on paper. And same thing, two guys who can definitely hold it down in between the pipes. But they're awesome teammates too. You look at our goalie group, you know, goalie core, the three of us, I couldn't ask for a better kind of, you know, trio right there. And again, I'm sure, you know, there's some times they definitely look at me, the old guy, and they're like, I don't know what you're still doing here. And believe me, sometimes I say the same thing too, but, you know, to have an opportunity to go to work with those two guys and learn with those, you know, from those two guys and, you know, share some experiences with them. And again, that's what it's all about. One of the best, you know, aspects of being a pro is, you know, the people you come in contact with, your teammates, kind of first and foremost. Those two guys, they're both beauties and they're both, great to work with and compete with. And I couldn't ask for two guys to go to work with, you know, week in and week out. And they're super talented too. So, and then me selfishly, those two will forever have a fan in me moving forward. You know, those two definitely have some serious years, you know, between Doug and Big Fish, you know, some serious, you know, NLL years ahead of them. I think they've both really stepped into this young, you know, expansion group role. And they've crushed it. And it's not, you know, this league is, you know, from a goaltending point of view, is very unforgiving at times. And the people that know that best are the goalies themselves. But, you know, to have the wherewithal to kind of keep plugging away and going back to work and just keep learning. Those guys are two examples of, you know, kind of career NHL goaltenders and the path that it takes and the commitment that it takes. And for me, it's been great to just kind of be around and embrace that. And I will continue to do that, no doubt.
Definitely. And I think, you know, you being there for them to kind of just learn and pick your brain too is nothing but a positive for their development in this league too. When it comes to the fans, a lot of the fans traveled with New England when they left Philadelphia, but to see the amount of fans that came back that first game against Buffalo, to see Wells Fargo Center as packed as it was and continue to be as packed as it is week in and week out for all these home games, how special is that for you and everybody in the locker room to know that, you know, this fandom was kind of just sitting under a rock waiting for, you know, the Philadelphia Wings to come back someday, and they're out there full force, you know, 10,000-11,000 fans each and every week. What's that like for you guys in the locker room to play against such passionate, to play in front of, I should say, such passionate fans?
Oh, totally. I mean, and they rock, you know, and it's, you know, having experienced it on many aspects of the table, you know, my first run in this league was with New York, and you know, people say it to this day, everybody highlighted, you know, visiting teams, everybody highlighted getting a chance to play in Philly, and, every, you know, road trips, and, you know, whether it was playing at the Spectrum or, it's funny, I think I've played at the Wells Fargo Center. I think the name has changed like three times, being from like Wachovia to, you know, the first Union Center and now Wells Fargo. You know, that was always a, you know, a game that was circled and underlined and highlighted from a visiting team. And you truly don't understand that until you get a chance to kind of wear the red and black and to play for, you know, to play for the Philadelphia Wings. And you see that passion. But it doesn't make sense until, you know, you really get a chance to step on the floor and be in the room and experience that. And, you know, many people say it. You know, the city of Philadelphia will embrace you if you kind of throw your heart out there and wear it on your sleeve and sell out. And that comes in many different levels, too. But it's all about embracing the fans and just kind of understand, you know, in any, you know, any career path, anything, you know, it's, you know, you got to understand your environment and, you know, the Philadelphia Wings environment, you know, talk about Philly sports in general, sure, but, you know, the Philadelphia Wings, you know, organization and its fans, it's such a unique aspect of Philadelphia sports that our fans are unbelievable and they are lifers. And I think that's kind of been the cool thing is, you know, one, having a chance to play for Philly. And then when we left and went to New England and those fans traveled and, you know, you could always, you know, we're in Mohegan Sun Arena and you could always sit out there and always point out a couple of Philadelphia Wings t-shirts. And all those fans making the trip up to Connecticut. And here you are, you know, a good number of years later, we're back in Philly and those fans are back and through and true. And, you know, it's funny you talk about, you know, teammates and not skipping a beat. Our fans didn't skip a beat. You know, we walked right back into that building, and it was like we never left. And look, you know, the experience, you know, no matter how long or short it is, you always have to embrace your community from the top down. And our fans, when you get a chance to just sit back and get to know them, and look, our fans travel. They're at practice, you know, in terms of, you know, events that you have for fans and everything, but they're definitely hands down the most genuine fans you'll ever meet. You know, when you get a chance to really sit down on a personal level with anybody and everybody, you know, whether they're, you know, season ticket holders for when the league started, or if they're new fans fresh out of the gate and they didn't know who the Wings were until this year, the passion that this Philadelphia Wings fan base has, you know, it should give you chills. And when you step into that arena, you kind of know what you're getting into. And I think that's the best aspect of playing, you know, being in Philly and playing in Philly and just getting to know your fans and embracing that environment. There's really nothing like it. And as a pro, you couldn't ask for anything else.
Definitely. And I think, you know, you said it best. Every single Philadelphia team has these passionate fans. But, man, that first time I was up in the press box for that first home game to see those fans out there in full force was a sight to behold, and especially after that first win, just seeing fans, you know, climb across the glass to just give each and every one of you guys a high five following that win was something I'll remember, you know, from my media coverage of this team for as long as I live. It was unreal to just kind of witness. But for this weekend coming up, obviously a home and away game against New England, what's that preparation like for you guys, you know, knowing that it's a back-to-back weekend, knowing that you're going to be at home and then have to get right on the road and play an afternoon game after a night game? What's that preparation like for you guys, and what are you guys kind of anticipating when it comes to playing this back-to-back?
Oh, no doubt. You know, I think as pros, you know, it's one of those things where anytime you get to spend more time with your teammates, it's a win-win. You know, when these two-game weekends come up throughout the year, you know, no doubt if, you know, it's taxing on your body and your mind and all that, but, again, it's what we do. And I think it's kind of a blessing in disguise that, you know, we've kind of got this, you know, this back to back here this weekend, you know, where this group is ready. And look, you know, when you look at the division, you look at the East, you're going toe-to-toe with everybody. And when you get a shot with our home-and-home Saturday, you know, I think it's great to kind of to start it off at home. But, look, New England's good. You know, they're off to a good start. I give, you know, our squad a ton of credit. We have been in every game, and, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, this weekend, it's not something where we're going to be happy with, you know, just playing well and this and that. This is a huge weekend for us. And, you know, we know that. We are ready for that, no doubt. But every game in this league is a challenge. And before you can talk about and think about Sunday, you've got to get geared up and prepared for Saturday. And then, yeah, quick turnaround. Good part is that it's the same opponent. You look at some of these two-game weekends, you're back-to-back. Sometimes you kind of have to hit the reset button pretty quickly and kind of change gears and prepare for somebody else. I think selfishly, you know, perfect kind of storm where, you know, obviously we're playing New England Saturday and playing New England Sunday, so that'll definitely help us from a preparation point of view and having to obviously more so prepare physically for two games this weekend. And obviously mentally, of course, but you don't have to set that, you know, you don't have to hit that reset mentally and get ready for somebody else. So I think, you know, that's kind of the blessing in disguise here with this weekend is that, yeah, it's going to be a grind back-to-back Saturday, Sunday this weekend, but being able to kind of put all of your focus into one opponent, I think that's where we can, you know, really take advantage of that.
And obviously this is the first time that this new Wings team will face New England in franchise history, but a lot of people are calling this, you know, a budding rivalry. Do you view it as something that is eventually going to turn into a rivalry, or is it something that's kind of just been implemented by the fans knowing that the Black Wolves used to be the Wings and now they're the Black Wolves and now the Wings are back? Is this something that you could see, you know, budding into one of those heated rivalries, kind of like Eagles Cowboys, Phillies Mets, Flyers Penguins, stuff like that?
I'll take it. You know what I mean? You know, it's one of those things where, you know, whether it's put on by the fans or this and that, you know what I mean? I mean, there's plenty of crossover. There's plenty of turnover. You know, the way the league goes, you know, you can, you know, be playing, you know, somewhere one, you know, one year and now the next. You know, I think rivalries are what sports are all about. I mean, look, Philly and Buffalo, you know, there's a ton of history there. And I won't say that that's kind of the most iconic kind of Philly rivalry, but when you think about it, you know, this one's definitely unique, you know, from, you know, from expansion and from obviously, you know, this Philly squad who picked up and left and went to New England and the ownership group and all that. I mean, look, it's one of those things where there's, you know, there's no bad blood or there's no, you know, we don't like you type of things. I mean, look, this is pro sports and at, you know, I got enough friends and when it comes game day, you know, you're focused and you're ready to go. But I think, you know, does the league need this rivalry? Sure. You know, Philly, New England? Sure. I mean, and look, I'm not going to go total cliche and talk, you know, Philly, New England from a Super Bowl point of view. But, yeah, if you want to keep adding things to that too, sure. You know, sports are all about rivalries. And whether it's for, you know, brought on by the fans or brought on by media or brought on about, you know, former teammates or former teams or anything like that. I won't say at the end of the day it's just a game because, you know, look, lacrosse means a lot to every single one of us, and we wouldn't be doing that if it didn't. But I do think it's pretty cool to kind of be, you know, this is our first go, you know, against New England from a Philly point of view because, yeah, you know, this team, you know, used to be the Philadelphia Wings. So when you look at it, yeah, this is a pretty unique experience for the players, being one of those guys that's been able to wear, you know, both of those sweaters, Kevin Crowley, you know, and myself, it's definitely interesting. And I think I said it earlier, you know, when you get a chance to play in moments like this and be a part of moments like this, one, you are super fortunate, and two, it only just means that you're getting older, no doubt. But I'm excited. And like I said, you know, I have to tip my hat. I give a lot of credit and a lot of thank yous always to Mike French and Rich Lisk. Those guys gave me an opportunity a good number of years ago. And, you know, not many opportunities like that are given to American goaltenders. And for those two, I am very thankful and very grateful for, you know, again, because without those guys, I wouldn't have had the chance to keep playing, you know, keep doing what I love, and have the chance to kind of talk about this new rivalry, which I think is huge for the NLL. And look, it's going to be a rowdy game. It's going to be a rowdy bunch Saturday night at Wells Fargo. There's nothing like being in that building on a Friday night and a Saturday night, and, you know, quick turnaround on Sunday. And look, that's kind of a unique experience too, you know, playing at Mohegan Sun. I think, you know, and again, that arena is pretty awesome. The experience being up there is pretty cool from a player's point of view. You couldn't ask for anything. I mean, I could sit here and talk about every arena we play in and all that. But having had the chance to be in both dressing rooms, you know, both in the red and black and then the orange and black. Yeah, no doubt. This one definitely means a little bit extra. You don't want to overdo it, but this one, no doubt, definitely means a little extra for sure this weekend.
Definitely. It's going to be a ton of fun. I know everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia is looking forward to it, and we want to thank you, Chris, for jumping on the show to kind of break down this new, potentially budding rivalry and be part of a rivalry weekend with the Wings and the Black Wolves, and I'm sure we'll be catching up on Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center, and best of luck to you guys this weekend.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, I can't thank you enough for having me on. Look, I'll talk lacrosse all day long. Big weekend for us. Go Wings.
Definitely. We'll be talking soon, Chris. I'll see you this weekend.
Yep, you got it. Thank you very much.
And that was Chris Collins, goalie for the Philadelphia Wings. He's got that unique perspective. He's been part of all three phases of the Wings, whether it's, you know, the old guard, the New England Black Wolves, or this new Wings franchise that we get the opportunity to cover on a week-in and week-out basis. But Rivalry Weekend is going to be a blast. I want to thank Brett Manny and Chris Collins for being part of this week's show, and a big shout-out to both the New England Black Wolves franchise and the Philadelphia Wings for allowing us to set this up and make it a fun week outside the box. But I think that's going to do it for this edition of Outside the Box right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. So for Herm, for myself, and everybody here at Underground Sports, we are signing off. Peace.